of the summer of Vrindavan. So before starting, I need to again put my audience into a peaceful atmosphere. What is this loud sound, Stevo? Is it? It's good. Fine. Please arrange yourself. Sriji Prasad, I thought you would stay. Yes, it became so much. Was this making the noise? Wow. What is happening here, my family? Oh yeah, no, nice. God, this is, looks like the best of screens. I'm just thinking how we can make a cooler atmosphere here. I know one yoga breathing. But you would all... maybe we shouldn't do it, but you can become... I think you all enjoyed singing the rain raga, so if we sing this a few more times, there will be rain. But it's difficult to pray for rain and sing the rain raga too long, because there's also Ratha Yatra and we don't want rain to be there. Anyways, although it may be a little hot for you, I sincerely request you to pay full attention to the katha, because this will extinguish the blazing fire of material existence and in this way take care of all of our heat problems. Today I wanted to address the greatest obstacle on the spiritual path, and then I want to tell you a little bit what's in the mind of Krishna when he sees his devotees endeavoring in this material world. And finally, I would like to look with you on a verse of the Venu Gita. The path of Krishna consciousness is very easy and it brings quick results, provided the devotee avoids one big roadblock. If you do not know about this roadblock, you can do many, many practices, but still feel dry in your heart at the end. You can visit many holy places. You can go to many summer camps. Hello. You can chant many extra rounds. But all the results of these powerful spiritual practices will be stolen away if you commit offenses against Vaishnavas.
Ali rezultati svih duhovnih aktivnosti će jednostavno biti ukradeni ako grešite pak.
Krishna says, I have many, many devotees in many millions of universes. I love them all. So if I find that someone commits an offense against my dear devotees, I retract from this person. To commit an offense, there are six things which you do when you commit an offense. It starts with not feeling joy when you see a devotee. And it ends with killing a Vaishnava. And everything in between, you know, bearing malice in your heart or bad feelings towards devotees is the roadblock. Even the great yogi Dovasa Muni, who could travel with the speed of mind and even enter Vaikuntha, was burned by the result of offending a devotee of Krishna, Maharaj Ambarish. Why shouldn't we find fault with a devotee even if he acts improperly? Listen to this advanced school of tolerance which you will hear now. Tolerance. See, you meet only persons who are mirroring to you what you need to learn. So if you meet a devotee who acts improperly, that devotee has been placed there by Krishna so that you can learn. Listen, you find fault in this improperly acting Vaishnava, but you yourself, I have placed this devotee before you so that you can see by watching his behavior what is your bad behavior. To offend, in other words, even a misbehaved devotee is as foolish as to throw a stone into a mirror which shows you your not so beautiful face. Why has Krishna brought you in contact with this improperly behaving Vaishnava? Because he wanted to show you what is wrong in yourself also. Your shadow, which you like to keep hidden before yourself and the world, has manifested in that Vaishnav. This is a very advanced teaching in tolerance. And I will not explain this further. Those who are advanced, for whom this teaching is, they will understand. The others will have to wait 10 years before they can see this point. But you will all see it after some time. Mm-hmm. most of the time we are angry at devotees when we have mistakes in our own hearts. So our Vaishnava scriptures tell us we should never criticize the devotees. It is the greatest harm which we can create on our path. And Krishna, who loves all his devotees, is personally hurt when we go against his devotees. An offense is never an unintentional mistake. For something to be an offense, there must be bad intention. So please don't become overly afraid if you happen to step on the toe of a devotee while you do kirtan out of mistake. But if you take your foot and you go like, then you are in problem. I would just leave it with this. I think I would like to go with you to a subject which came up a lot during our Japa and Kirtan retreats. See, we often hear in our lectures, endeavor hard, give your best, sacrifice something for Krishna. But sometimes we as devotees want to know, do I only care for Krishna or does he care for me also? What are the Lord's feelings towards someone who tries his best and chants his holy name? We all chant on our Japa Mala and address the Lord. What does he feel towards us? Does he notice us when we sing his holy names? Does he perceive our endeavor to reach and please him? When Lord Krishna becomes aware that someone chants his holy name, his mind goes immediately to that person. And Krishna thinks, this person who is trying to chant my name belongs to me. I must always protect him. Once Lord Krishna met Arjuna and wanted to tell him what he thinks about his devotees who chant his name. Krishna told Arjuna, listen very carefully. When someone chants my name, whether with devotion or even out of indifference, then his name will remain forever within my heart. I will never forget such a soul. Krishna, in other words, keeps a list. A list of names which are chanting the holy name. It's a long list. I have a little list of things I have to do today. You see, many points are crossed out already. This list reminds me. Krishna also has such a list. And Dario, your name is on that list. Even if you sometimes make a mistake, Krishna always keeps the names of his chanters, the chanters of his name, next to his heart. Srila Sridhar Swami explains about Ajamil. Ajamil was a sinner who was dying at one stage. He was surrounded by his sons. Only one son was missing. It was the little boy Narayan, who played nearby. Because he was so small, he couldn't understand his father was on his deathbed. So Ajamil, who wanted all his sons to be around at his last breath, shouted, "Narayan, Narayan, Narayan, come here, don't play." As he was calling the real Narayan, I mean the original Narayan, I wanted to say, in the spiritual world, heard him calling Narayan. And he started to think very deeply about Ajamil. Ajamil has become a sinner. He now calls the name Narayan, but he really doesn't mean me, he means his son. What should I do with him? This was a deep thought of Lord Narayan. After some time, he decided, he came to a conclusion. He chants my name, knowingly or unknowingly. It's my name, Narayan. And he called the messengers of the Lord, the Vishnu Dutas, and ordered them very firmly, bring him to me. Now, Sridhar Swami says, how much more then will the Lord care for someone who consciously calls his name in a service attitude? When I chant the holy name, I like to think that Krishna is nearby watching my chanting. He listens to every name in the Maha Mantra. And he feels in his heart, I like to meditate like this. This person belongs to me. and I belong to Him. He is mine and I am His. And when chanting in this packed up connectedness, some rasa, some feeling of love comes in the heart. My dear devotees, feel encouraged. Don't feel discouraged because you may not yet have reached the perfection of your spiritual life. Know that the Lord has very, very good feelings towards someone who chants His holy name and puts the person's name on a list which He never throws away. I'm telling this because the gopis were all the time thinking of Krishna as He was playing His flute in the forest. They were feeling, why can't we be with Krishna? The land of Vrindavan is with Krishna. The rivers and the trees and the leaves and the insects and the clouds and the deers and the birds and the peacocks and the everything is with Krishna except for us. You missed a few. I was testing how much your brain is still cool. Because I will explain some very advanced subjects that I need a concentrated translator. Gee, don't translate this. So, Krishna also thought about the gopis. Once, Sridham found him in the forest of Vrindavan sitting alone on a stone. And he noticed that Krishna was crying. Oh my dear Kanaya, said Sridham. What is troubling your mind? Why are you sitting alone? There must be something upsetting you. And Krishna turned around so that Sridham could only see his back. And in a very soft voice says, no, nothing, everything is okay. Sridham went around to Krishna from the back and he looked into his friend's face and said, everything is okay and you are crying. At this moment, the best of tears, a very transparent tear, came in the eye of Krishna. And it ran down the face, it came to the chin, then it jumped on the chest of Krishna, and it drew a little road down the transcendental body of the Lord. Tell me, what is upsetting you so much, said Sridham. I want to meet the daughter of King Vrishabhanu. In her separation, I am as good as dead. I am known as the Lord of the universe, but I'm dying without Radha. The Lord thinks of his devotees. He wants to be wants that his devotees are with him. He feels separated from each one of you. When Gop Kumar finally returned to Krishna, Krishna asked him, "How could you tolerate to be away from me for so long?" And he lost his consciousness. He fell into the dust of Vrindavan and made it muddy with his tears. Krishna thinks of his devotees. Prabhupada says he thinks of his devotees even earlier than they think of him. First, in other words, Krishna calls you and then you can call for Krishna. First, Krishna notices you and then you notice Krishna. So, the gopis are lamenting in the village of Vrindavan, thinking they are separated from Krishna and Krishna is enjoying with everyone else. Not with them, it's not together with them, but Krishna is thinking of the gopis 24 hours a day. In this connection, there is a verse. Oh, my Lord, what shall I give you? If I give you a jewel, it's meaningless to you because you live in the ocean of jewels. If I give you gold and precious cloth, you don't need it because you are married to Lakshmi, who has all the wealth. Then the devotee reflects, what can I give to my Lord? He has everything. And he gets an idea. Yes, Krishna always thinks of the gopis and the devotees and have lost his mind. So the devotee thinks, I have a mind, you just take my mind, keep it, and then you can maybe use it. So, let's now go to the Venu Gita. I will today only talk half an hour maximum or 20 minutes about the Venu Gita. Then we will have questions and answers and end a little earlier because at 7 o'clock the Nam Yagya will start. So the gopis sit together at some corner of the village of Vrindavan and talk about Krishna's friends who always associate with Krishna. As the gopis talk, suddenly Radharani interrupts them. Stop. You say that the Sakas, Krishna's friends, have always Krishna's association. But you are wrong, so wrong. The flute has even more association with Krishna than his friends. Because even when Krishna rests in the night and the Sakas sleep at their parents' house, Krishna keeps the flute just next to his head. Everyone is gone from Krishna's association, but the flute is still with him. And then Radha thinks about that flute which is constantly with Krishna and recites this verse.
Kopya kim acharadayam kushalam smamenu damodaradarasudam apikopikanam Bhunkte svayam yatavashishtarasam hradinyo Hrishyatvacho shrunmumuchus taravo yataya.
My dear gopis, what auspicious activities must the flute have performed to enjoy the nectar of Krishna's lips independently and leave only a taste for us gopis? Actually, the nectar of Krishna's lips is only meant for us, the gopis. But now the flute drinks it all. The forefathers of the flute, the bamboo trees, shed tears of pleasure. His mother, the river, on whose bank the bamboo was born, feels jubilation. And because the mother is so happy that her child has made it to Krishna's lips, her hairs stand erect in the water in the form of lotus flowers. You must know, whatever Krishna's lips touch becomes nectar. Why is everyone wanting to eat Krishna prasadam? Because Krishna has touched this food with his lips and therefore it has become nectar. So everyone, even the devatas, want to get that which is touched by Krishna's lips. So everyone in Vrindavan admires the flute which constantly is in touch with Krishna's beautiful lips. Do you know how Krishna got his flute? I also learned it only yesterday. See, once the creator of this universe, Brahma, landed with his swan carrier in Vrindavan. He wanted to do service for Krishna.
svojim univerzama, sletao na svom labudu koji ga nosi kroz univerzume, uvrindavan jer želeo
služiti. He knew that Nanda Baba and Yashoda would soon give birth to Krishna. So Brahma thought, let me do some service for Krishna, who is born just in a few months. And the best way to serve Krishna is to serve his devotees. You know everything in theory. So Brahma decided with his four heads to become the four hills of Vashana. When you walk in Vashana on the hills, you walk on Brahma's heads. And then Brahma thought for a while, I have served Radharani, she will walk on my heads. But what will I do for Krishna? And after thinking for some time, he came to Nanda Maharaj and he took a flute out of his garment and said, this is for your son Krishna. He will play on this constantly, day and night. He will like it. When he is born, you just place this flute in his hand and you see what happens. So when little Krishna was born, Nanda Baba took the flute which Brahma had given him into his hand. When Krishna touched the flute, he smiled. Ever since that time, this flute is Krishna's constant companion. He is never without this flute, only when it gets stolen. But that's another story. So the gopis discuss amongst themselves, this flute is really very, very incapable to get the nectar of Krishna's lips because it's a dry stick of bamboo. It's like if we see a very dry devotee who always gets the most mercy, we think, this is a contradiction. He's so dry. So the gopis begin to think that this dry stick, this bamboo, must have made some austerity, some unique mantra japa, or some standing on a leg for 20 years or something to come to that exalted position of being so close to Krishna. What is your secret flute? What did you do to always be touched by the lips of Krishna? Now, the flute answers. Hey gopis, why are you blaming me? What's wrong in what I do? Think a little. I must have done something very special to deserve to always drink the nectar of Krishna's lips. Why don't you go to Syam Sunda and ask him what I did? And Shyam Sunda then will answer to you. Hey gopis, this flute there are many austerities. He is a renunciant from birth, a vairagi. He left his village and his brahminical thread, everything. You might know when a bamboo takes birth, he stands alone, you know, no village life and no Brahmin string. And then the flute continues to educate the gopis. I did so many austerities at the bamboo plant. I stood on 1 foot for so many years. Hot seasons, cold seasons, I tolerated them all. Then, when I was cut, I gave up my roots and my leaves and my little branches, everything. Imagine someone would cut your legs. This happened to Krishna's flute. He was first a bamboo and then was cut. Then, so that the Lord would have some flute holes to play with his finger, a hot iron piece was placed in my soft body and drilled into my body. I did not protest, nor did my body twist and turn when I was tortured like this. First, you must do these austerities. Then you can come to Krishna, says the flute. One great devotee has commented. He says the flute has one qualification which we all have to have if we want to become a real devotee of Krishna. The flute was dhara ashrita. It had taken shelter of the earth. Come in, Prahlada Nanda Maharaj. We want to see you. Bravo! Leela Shuka, Prabhu, come in. We need to see you. Hare Krishna. Welcome, Maharaj, and welcome, future Maharaj. Sorry? Voila, yeah. Voila. You have enhanced the quality of this useless seminar by your auspicious presence. We will just tell for the pleasure of Prahladananda Maharaj and Leela Shuka in English, and then you can say it in Serbian. The flute of Lord Krishna, this is Venu Gita seminar, has one very good quality which the devotees also should have. It was previously Dara Ashrita, it had taken shelter of the earth, but it has become Hasta Ashrita, Krishna Hasta Ashrita. It has taken shelter in Krishna's lotus hand. So a devotee who wants to get the mercy of Krishna, we learn from this, he must give up false shelter, Maya Ashrita, the shelter in this material world, and he must give his life into the hands of Krishna. And the flute teaches us this. It was previously a bamboo stick, dry, full shelter at the earth. Then now it floats in the air. It has given itself to Krishna, but Krishna takes care of it and always carries it. Isn't that a beautiful explanation? I thought I to give what? Oh my God, soon you will speak sentences and give lectures in Serbian. Hare Krishna. So you can. You can learn this one quality, to give up wrong shelter, worldly shelter, and surrender yourself into the arrangements of Krishna. The arrangements of Krishna are very important. The arrangements of Krishna are the hands of Krishna moving your life. I sometimes tell the devotees, don't try to see the face of Krishna, try to see the hands of Krishna first. Try to see his arrangements in your life. The arrangements which are maybe subtle signposts on your way. Give your life into the hands of Krishna, the arrangements of Krishna. Yeah. So, I would now like to end the seminar by today's, not the whole seminar, but today's session, by giving you a little bit a description of Krishna as seen through the eyes of the gopis when he plays his flute. This is a particular nice image which I request you to take in your mind and in your heart. Krishna stands in the forest of Vrindavan and his left cheek is resting on his left shoulders. And his fingers move on his flute as he plays the ascending ragas and the descending ragas. It means deep, but it's much nicer. Krishna puts the flute usually on the lower lip of his mouth. And as he plays the flute, his eyebrows dance to attract the attention of Subal to the skill of his musicality. While he does this and plays his flute, he has a very gentle smile playing on his lips. Now, Krishna doesn't work personally. And therefore, all the parts of his body are extremely soft, except for the fingertips. They are a little harder than the rest of his body. because of his flute playing. But what you see when you look at the fingerprints of Krishna as he plays his flute, they are a little indented from the holes, you know, of the flute. Now, sometimes when Krishna plays the flute, he shows this mudra, the Gyan mudra. When his devotees hear the wonderful song of Krishna's flute, through which Krishna expresses the different feelings of love for his devotees, they remain silent. They can't speak any longer. Starting from tomorrow, we will hear how the deers become silent and the birds become silent, and no one is able to make any sound any longer because they are absorbed in Krishna's flute song. So this is what the gopis see as they hear Krishna's flute song. In the mirror of their purified heart, Krishna appears. This is what Prabhupada used to tell us. This is a secret which many of you don't know. He said, when you really chant Hare Krishna and hear the vibration of Hare Krishna, it is equivalent to listening to Krishna's flute. When you chant Hare Krishna, you will also experience how the mirror of your mind gets dusted off and Krishna's form and finally activities are seen in the mirror of your heart. So we can understand that the gopis, although the flute song was so far away, when they heard it, all of a sudden Krishna's form and his smile and his activities with his cowherd friends arose in their hearts. When Srila Prabhupada was in Allahabad, he encouraged us, you must chant Hare Krishna, and then Krishna's name and form and activities will also be in your heart. So I will give you a little homework this time. Let us remember the example of Krishna's flute. Taking shelter of Krishna's lotus hand by giving up Maya Ashrita, the false shelter of this material world. I would love to talk more about Krishna's flute, but I don't want to overload you with information and now give you an opportunity to ask questions for 10 minutes and then we will stop and we will request you to go a little bit, to wait, because at 7 o'clock sharp we will start with our Nam Yagya, and maybe some of you will hear, will feel how on the mirror of their minds mirror of their hearts, Krishna appears.
I sadašnja stadija, ne želim da vam dajem više informacija, zato što kažemo, sad vam želimo početi sa nam javio, i onda će možda čak neki od vas primetiti, čuti taj zvuk Krišnine dne. Onda neki od vas će primetiti kako se ogledalo njegovog srca počišćava.
Dobro.
Tako da imamo 10 minuta vaše za
pitanje. So do you have questions? Here is one question, Lila Purushottama. Here's another question. What is your good name, please?
Guru Bhakti.
Wow, Guru Bhakti, what a good name. May this name become fulfilled in your life. Okay, and Gaura Hari. We have 3 questions and I will try in 10 minutes to answer them. Lila Purushottam, please. Ritzi.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, but I have to ask this question. You mentioned the story of Kokumar returning to Krishna, and we often hear if he returns. I was just wondering, because nobody could recognize him, only but Krishna and Balaram. So how can you explain this? Nobody has recognized him when he came back from to Balaram.
So that may show that he was not with everyone. Yes. No, everything is good, which comes from the lips of the devotees. Please say in Croatian your question, or in Serbian. Or... So, Lila Purushottam, fasten your seatbelt and you have to now listen carefully. This is, of course, a very loaded question. Lila Purushottam, I will give you, after having read millions of books about this question, my conclusion. From my studies and the studies of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and making it all, bringing it to sense in what Prabhupada says, I'm firmly convinced that when we hear we come from the spiritual world, it means we come from Krishna's Tatastha Shakti. This means when we come here, our spiritual form was not yet manifested. But we come from Krishna. Because all energies come from Krishna. We have I want to give you an example. Imagine Shriji Prasad, the small son of Madhava Muni and Kishori. When he will return, when he will come here, he's now here, but when he will come here in his grown-up body, you won't recognize him. He will maybe not look so sweet. Now he looks like a little Brijbasi. Maybe then he looks like a Serbian from Niš. I don't think so. I'm giving an example. The little boy has not yet manifested his normal grown-up body. It's a small, slutky baby. So in the same way, when we leave Krishna, it's a very primitive example, we are not yet manifested. Our body, spiritual body, which is glowing with love for Krishna, is not yet there. In that not fully blossomed state of existence, we make that decision, we become covered with some ignorance, we make the decision to leave. So in this world, we meet Krishna, dear devotees, and learn the process of bhakti, which will unfold our constitutional nature, which was all the time there. And then when we glow with love also, then we can go back home, back to Godhead. This is a short answer to a question which has engaged the best philosophical minds since many, many years, or hundreds of years even. And because I'm a little unphilosophical and unclever, that is the answer I'm satisfied with. But if you want to explore this subject more, you have the best of philosophers, Prahlada Nanda Maharaj, there, and Leela Shukha, a scholar, who can give you detailed answers. Hare Krishna. I'm trying to create a joyful atmosphere with this. Yes. Any, there was the next Guru Bhakti with the best name. Yes, Retsi. And we have what?
And
we have been. Good.
But still we feel repentant. So are you going to suffer the reactions of this offense even if the devotee produces like lack of taste for chanting the Holy Name, let's say?
A serious offense. Yes. See, when you... A devotee, an advanced devotee will forgive us, will forgive everyone for anything they did. Oh, sorry. Can you speak Serbian or not? Not. No. No problem. Radha Kripa is here. Yeah. Yes. Oh, he may not even notice that you did something wrong because he is on a very exalted level of consciousness. He doesn't see these things the way we see things. But if it was, we are speaking of a heavy offense, not. But it is said the dust of the lotus feet of the devotees may not have forgiven you. That means the followers, they bear some grudge against the offender.
Da oni imaju, da
Now, to get the well-wishes of the dust or the followers, you need to show your repentance in practical action. I will tell you now something about the psychology of forgiveness. When we do something wrong and we ask for forgiveness, the party whom we have wronged has a need. And unless we satisfy the need of that party, the forgiveness that party offers us is maybe only partial. The need of a person we have offended is to see that we won't do it again.
No.
First of all, the need is he wants to see, has he understood that he did something wrong? Is it clear to him? And the second need of that party which was offended is he needs or she needs to see that the person will not do it again. Only when these two needs are met by the offending party, then full forgiveness is granted. Otherwise, it's partial and it doesn't really work to exonerate us or free us from the results of the wrongdoing. Budi praktikali. Let's be practical. Let's say I, Sachinandan Swami, have made a serious offense against Krishna Das. If I want to have the full forgiveness from Krishna Das, I need to convince him of two things: that I have understood that I have done wrong and that I regret it. And that I won't do it again. So if you want to be free of the results of the offense towards a great devotee, you have to convince him or if it's a great devotee, his followers, that you have understood that you did something wrong, that you are sorry for it, and that you won't do it again because you really understood and you really want to distance yourself from such from the thoughts and actions which led to the offense. Then full forgiveness is given. Don't worry. Be a good devotee. Switchy bidi oredo. Everything will be alright. Gaura Hari, we have now gone over time. Can you ask me your question in private? You can. I'm very sorry. I want to end here because Madhva Muni, please remain seated. Madhva Muni will give us instructions what to do, most probably regarding the. You say what you need to say.